All right, welcome to Speak for Yourself. I'm Jason Whitlock. That's Marcellus Wiley, that dude.
Yes, sir.
Coming up, we'll tell you if we've got more faith in Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes this weekend.
And if Luke Walton's days with the Lakers are numbered. But we start every day with a Whitlock, so what you got today, big dog?
Oh, one day soon, I hope Adam Gase is the poster child of this quarterback craze era of professional football.
You ain't got it.
One day, I hope this picture on the cover of today's New York Post symbolizes the 2019 offseason. The NFL has gone QB mad. In hopes of creating ratings-driving quarterbacks, the league has massaged the rules to the point that a referee actually thought an offensive lineman hugging his quarterback was a sack and stopped play. I'm convinced this is all part of a Russian plot to destroy football. I called it the Putin principle. Stick with me and I'll explain it in a second and how Gase fits in.
All right.
See, it's not just the rules we're massaging. The quarterback craze has created the fake news narrative that the best head coaches are BFF with the quarterback. When the 2019 season kicks off, 12 of the NFL's 32 head coaches will have played quarterback in college, 13 if you count Mike Zimmer's one season at Illinois State. And another 6 of the coaches will be regarded as quarterback gurus. The latter category is where Adam Gase falls. And while Cliff Kingsbury is widely regarded as the worst head coaching hire this offseason, he's the only coach to fail at Texas Tech in the last 35 years, I believe Gase's press conference yesterday with the Jets makes him the new leader in the clubhouse. Take a look at the man leading the New York Jets. Is that the look of a leader? Or is that video all you need to see to understand why Gase crashed and burned in Miami? Adam Gase is not an NFL head coach. He's a quarterback guru. There's a major difference. Gase is an NFL head coach because of the relationship he developed with Peyton Manning when they were both in Denver. Manning swears by his former offensive coordinator. They both love film study and strategy preparation. They talked and texted football incessantly when they were in Denver. That's great. That's what made Gase a great partner for Manning. Like Manning, Gase is a football nerd. But there are 50 other players inside a football locker room besides the quarterbacks. And the wild-eyed little Vladimir Putin isn't the right coach for those 50 guys. The Jets are about to experience the Putin principle. It's an offshoot of the Peter principle. Gase has been promoted to his level of incompetence. Operation Putin principle is a Russian scheme to influence the entire NFL and undermine the values that made the league and America great. This whole Vladimir Gase saga reminds me of my favorite scene from my favorite TV show, The Wire. Remember when D'Angelo was sitting in the pit and explaining to the young hoppers what happened to the man who invented the chicken McNugget? Ronald McDonald didn't write that dude no big-ass check and promote him to president of all of McDonald's. That dude is still sitting in the basement of McDonald's, tearing the bone out of chickens and folding the meat into little bitty McNuggets for the exact same wages. And he's doing it right next to the dude who invented cutting fish into squares for the fillet of fish. That's America. It's what makes us great. The NFL needs to rediscover those values and quit acting like every assistant coach who played a little quarterback or became friends with a great quarterback needs to be promoted to head coach. Here's the gold standard of NFL coaches. Bill Belichick, Vince Lombardi, Bill Walsh, Chuck Knoll, Joe Gibbs, Tom Landry, Don Shula, Bill Parcells, and Jimmy Johnson. Only one guy on that list played quarterback in college. Bill Walsh played 2 years at San Mateo before transferring to San Jose State and playing tight end. Hell, Adam Gase didn't even play football in college. He was a gopher for Nick Saban at Michigan State. Gase should be Sam Darnold's quarterback coach, not the Jets' head coach. All right, joining the desk now, our Fox Sports NFL analyst, Mark Schlitt.
Oh, man, stop that.
Marcellus, I'm going to start with you.
I can't get it.
Let's just start here. Start anybody, then we'll work out big.
Okay.
Am I overreacting to the press conference?
You know you are. You're doing a lot.
Come on, man.
I mean, look, we learned.
If that was your coach.
Huh?
And you saw that.
What? I'm I'm already booking my vacation. No playoffs for us. This dude ain't gonna make me run through a wall looking that way. But be careful, Whitlock. You are overreacting. Don't judge a book by its cover, because there's a lot of crazy looking coaches. If you ain't right, dog. No. You ain't had it your kids yet, so you better be careful. Our grandma used to say that. Boy, you ain't had all your kids yet. Sean Payton looks a little.
He don't look like that.
Oh, okay, but he a little off the mark. I mean, just to be real. Sean Payton, a little saucy. Is Sean McVay ever going to blink? Just be real. Like, he ain't never blinking.
Come on, Marcel.
Come on, man.
Sean McVay is a cover boy, man. They're going to put him on the cover of GQ. This dude right here, that looks like Vladimir Putin, man.
they told Rex and Rob y'all too fat, and Rex said, okay, let me surgery it up. I mean, look, it's been out there before. We had coaches who could be genius in one capacity, but not necessarily look and represent that part. So, look, if you want a coach to have intensity, why can't a coach wear intensity? I like Adam Gase for one reason and one reason only. He actually took a team that really had no expectations and built them up to having some expectations. And you could say, look, he's not a great coach. He's not tremendous. We'll get to that. But just in this mean part and the overreaction, let's make sure the guy doesn't have any issues. Let's just be real. Nothing that is induced by health-related issues. But beyond that, I could take a psycho-looking coach. I took a lot of crazy other coaches.
Am I overreacting? You're overreacting, but come on, that's a bad press conference. I mean, you cannot have your eyes dilated before you go do your opening press conference, can you? I mean, and Adam is a friend of mine, and I regard Adam as a very good coach, but I want to applaud you because I 100% agree with you the way the league has gone. They look at what they think is the way to create a coach. They look at Sean McVay, and I have met with him on 3 different occasions now calling games. That dude is an unbelievable human being. He is intelligent, he is sharp, he is articulate, and you know what? He develops a relationship, and that's what the bottom line is. Do you have a coach that's in the relationship game? Because that's what we're all in. You're either in the relationship business or you're going out of business. That's it. That's final. And if you can develop a relationship with your quarterback, that's great. But like you said, there's 50 other dudes outside that quarterback room that have to know you have their back. And it's not about motivating those guys. It's about inspiring those guys to play for you. I've played for one of those iconic coaches you put up there, Joe Gibbs. I've played for that man. I played and won Super Bowls for Mike Shanahan. Those guys are great coaches, but they related to the entire football team, and they weren't afraid to hold their quarterbacks accountable. And that's, I am 100% with you. Just because Sean McVay has taken the league by storm does not mean that any 30-year-old that brushed up against Sean McVay has what he has, the ability to communicate, the ability to be authentic, and the ability to inspire his players.
Am I overreacting?
No. Perception is reality. It kind of reminds me of, remember when Ben McAdoo got the job for the Giants and he did the 10-year challenge earlier with that big old suit he wore? You remember that?
Right, yeah.
Remember he wore that oversized suit?
Yeah.
So it's like, and look how that turned out.
Oh, that's the reason, huh?
It's
an indicator. What,
it's the perception, like,
man, stop that.
You can't take him serious. Dude is like this the whole time.
Yeah.
And so it goes back in relationships. All coaching is being a psychologist. I got to relate to each player on the team. And then you got his former players laughing at it on social media. Yeah, they were sent off. Jai got traded to the Eagles, and he sent Jarvis Landry to the Cleveland Browns. But that matters. I've been with coaches that I didn't like, but I respected them because they were honest with you, and you can communicate, and we have somewhat of a relationship. When you don't have that relationship and he pisses you off, the first thing you're going to think of is that. That's all you're going to – and it wasn't like offensively. He's this quarterback guru. Look at the Miami Dolphins.
You of
offensively.
All people?
Look at them offensively since he's been hired. Total offense, 31st.
Is that bad?
An offensive guru, but that gets you a job in the NFL is because of what he said. They're all looking for this. He should be the quarterback coach like Jason. They were 31st in offense. He's become the Miami Dolphins head
coach. Okay, now we're going to go to, first of all, you shouldn't be talking about perceptions reality, because I'm not going to lie, and you know this. There was a day when if somebody looking like TJ showed up on this team tomorrow, I'm ready to play some football, we questioning your toughness with that long hair, don't care.
Right.
Right? We looking at the ponytail like, is he ready? Is he about that? You prove him wrong,
but
right?
He's the head coach.
Thank you.
But I'm a player.
Thank you. But everyone has something to prove, and there's a lot of great coaches that do, that
right,
don't look
hold
the
on.
Part.
Go to our second layer.
Okay, let's
Mark
go.
Mark got us yeah. started. Is the league too obsessed with this quarterback thing and quarterback coaches than the guru thing?
Absolutely not. And it's amazing if you look at what Adam Gase has been able to do with a wide receiver who was off injured that
drafted in the first round, though.
Hey, man, he didn't have all personnel decision making. But he got a wide receiver and converted that into enough wins where he has more wins in his first 3 years than the greatest coach of all time, Bill Belichick. And the guy has a postseason appearance and finished second in the division twice.
He got fired, Marcel.
Okay, he got fired, but hey, Belichick also, at the same time, should have got fired by the numbers.
You comparing him Belichick.
I'm saying right now he on pace to be Belichick, damn it. That's what I'm saying right now. And you know why? This guy is offensive-minded, try to fix something that couldn't be fixed because Tannehill was often hurt.
I've always said this about a coach, all right? A head coach has got to be able to command his audience, whether that audience is one-on-one with a player, whether that audience is standing in front of your team meeting, talking to all your players, whether that's one-on-one with a coach or one-on-one with a coach or the entire coaching staff, and whether it's the media. That does not look like the face of a man who's commanding his audience right now.
Thank you.
And that is
that's what they said about Sean McVay. They said that about Sean McVay. Look at that 30-year-old. He's younger than his players.
But you know what else they said? With Doug Peterson, they said that's the worst hire in the history of the National Football League with Doug Peterson came in there. And I just watched Doug Peterson greet every one of his players as they came off a loss, thanked them for the season, hugged on them, loved on them. That's the building
and Marcellus,
of relationship.
You know that goes a long way when a coach does that, man. That goes
jokes,
a long way.
For jokes, for memes, yeah. But in reality and seriousness, I'm not tripping on how you look. This, if you're going to be intense and you're going to look intense, Marty Schottenheimer, respect the coach, didn't look weird, but he cried at least twice a
it
week.
It worked. It worked.
In the regular season, it worked.
Okay, well, then where are we going
crying,
with this?
And we all know this. To be a man and cry in front of other men, that's a sign of strength.
I'll give
you that. It's viewed as a sign of weakness growing up, but that's a sign of strength.
So what is that a sign of that his eyes are just going all over the place?
It's weirdness.
Yeah, he's awkward.
That's very awkward. You just don't see
awkward.
It.
He's awkward. He's in over his head. It's not the look that commands respect. Again though, because I just don't want to beat up on Adam Gase.
Please don't.
Because we've beaten up on him pretty good enough. Again, I go back to this quarterback coach obsession that the league has, and Sean McVay is a different dude. Clearly, listen, I was one of the last to buy the hype. I've now bought it. He proved it this weekend. The guy, again, it's just what I said yesterday. In order to get your team to play that game that the Rams played, that physical, we gonna take you out and snatch your soul, there's a speech the coach has to give to get his team to play that style of football. And again, this whole obsession with everybody being best friends with the quarterback, not every coach, and particularly a lot of these quarterback gurus, they can't give that speech, Sean McVay. They can't emote that. They can't get that kind of emotion and energy and passion out of their team. We've gone too far with this quarterback obsession.
It's a copycat league for good reasons, especially right now. You put up the montage of all the coaches of yesteryear, and they all were defensive-minded, and they were and defensive-minded, ground and pound, and that was the era, that was the style. Right now, it's about offensive-minded coaches, quarterback-friendly coaches, and think about it, the top four teams who scored the most points in the NFL this year are the same four teams remaining in the playoffs. So the teams that were led by their defense, Chicago Bears, where are they at? Baltimore Ravens, where are they at? Even the Chargers, who had a great bounce attack, where are they at? So if you want to say
where
that everyone's
upset. Where's Belichick at?
Belichick's still there, but his team also scored the most
points.
He's still
the gold standard. He's still the gold standard.
You show me it throughout this playoff run. You can go to the national championship game. Show me the team that controlled the line of scrimmage on both sides. I'll show you the team that won every single
That's never
going to
change. That will never change.
Game. So the new school part of it, Adam's a good coach. Adam's a friend of mine. Adam, I've never seen Adam look like this. This is absolutely.
You ever see either he got no sleep or he's off a ton of energy drinks.
Right, yeah, like I don't know what happened. But going back to Sean McVay, like I sat down, I was watching film with Mike Shanahan. We're you know, studying the passing game. He is the first guy to hire Sean McVay. So here's Shanahan, a legendary coach, been head coach for a long time back in Washington. When he went back to Washington, hired Sean McVay. He told me this. He goes, I sat down with Sean McVay in the interview, 30 seconds, and I knew I'd hire him. He sat down at the table, 30 seconds. I go, oh, I'm hiring this guy. Mm-hmm. This guy is special. Yeah. And that's what you do. That's what, when you meet with him, that's, you just, you come away with that. He is special. And the owners are looking like, the owners get around, you know how they are. They're like, hey, give me one of those guys.
They're humans.
Right? They're like, give me one of those guys.
But what's wrong with that? They do that with players. Look, there are very few special players, and there are a lot of damn good players. But when you see a Javon Kurse out there, and I came out with the prototype of Javon Kurse, Jason Taylor. Jason Taylor was a third-round draft pick in the same draft class as I, and I was a second-rounder. And even to ask my friends in my circle, I was at the combine with him. I'm like, they making a mistake. Not that they draft me high, right. Draft him higher.
He can play.
Man, this dude was insane, but he was a tweener. That was a time where it was not fashionable to be a tweener. Jason Taylor hits the scene, boom, boom, boom. Next thing you know, where's Javon Kurse? Where's all the guys who are small, who can't necessarily play the run, but get after the passer? This is the fad right now. Ride the wave because it leads to success.
I mean, let me tell you what the real fad is that you know, we can never talk about. And I'm going to throw a real curveball here. And may upset some people, but I could care less. Here's a fad that's not fashionable to talk about. You know what actually works to me in football? Every freaking time I see it. Virtually. And it's not the quarterback guy. It's the Christian conservative Dabo Sweeney coach. I see it everywhere. It works. People that can inspire people with their faith and just that energy that comes from having that faith, that from Vince Lombardi or since the beginning, from Newt Rockne all the way through the beginning of time. But there is no craze and fad to go out and hire the next Dabo Sweeney or even Nick Saban, who doesn't wear his faith on the sleeve, but he's certainly conservative. There is no fad or craze, and we don't popularize that. But now, because Sean McVay can call a few plays, we got to hire every 35-year-old young coach in America, and it drives me crazy.
Hey, respectful for saying that. I just don't know who is wearing their faith versus who's not, who's agnostic, who's atheist, who's really devout. So I can't assess that
Tom
by college.
Landry, all the way through.
Guys, to me, guys.
Tony Dungy, Joe Gibbs, Tony Dungy.
Guys that are authentic.
Yeah.
And guys that will get the players, to sacrifice for one another. Great leadership happens when you care more about the people you lead than you care about yourself. And if you don't have that on your football team, guess what? You ain't going to win a championship. That's just my personal experience, and I got three of them. And our teams all had that. Mm. They had that. Joe Gibbs once met me crutching out of the elevator. I only played on Sundays. I couldn't walk the rest of the week in 1992. Asked me to come to his office the next morning. I was sick all night. Didn't sleep a wink, thinking, Joe hates it when people don't practice. Joe's going to cut me. Joe's going to do something. I walked into his office. I barely rapped on the door. Hoping that he was sleeping and he would invite me in. I'd be like, hey, I showed up at your office at the time you asked, 8:45, 9 o'clock meeting, right?
Yeah.
I walk into his office, I sit on the couch, he points to a grease board and goes, hey, I want you. First he said, man, I appreciate what you're doing for us. If you think you need to have surgery, if you ruin your career, I want you to go have that surgery. He goes, but I want you to look at that grease board. It was my name and 15 other names on that grease board. He goes, I want you to know that I sincerely am on my knees every day praying for you by name. And I appreciate the sacrifice that you make for this football team. I would step in front of traffic today for Joe Gibbs. That's the kind of inspiration he created for his football teams and why he had so much success. And I believe that that is the key to successful business, regardless of what you're in.
And that's what they should be looking for. More so than Peyton Manning called and said, man, we texted all night about X's and O's.
He should. He's the head coach. I mean, his only saving grace, at least he stayed in the same division. He has the best young quarterback in the division, so he does know it. He's probably hoping New England is on their way out.
All right.
To me, but that right there, hey. That's just odd, man. Hey, you can't.
That's not my.
If he can go into that meeting room, and show the guys that he genuinely cared, that's the biggest thing. If a coach shows you he cares,
but that's your first impression. So you're gonna have to be able to get over that. And let me tell you something. That's if I'm in that locker room, I'm doing that.
But I just realized why I never won a championship, and you probably should too. I ain't stepping in front of no traffic, no coach.
Never.
Hey, take that L.
You ain't played for the right one.
Hey, I don't know about that.
That's why we ain't
playing for ourselves.
I'm so glad you were here.
Here you go, Bill.
There's something about auctions that makes shopping much more enjoyable. Sports fans, it probably has something to do with the competition and suspense that auctions provide. But who wants to spend time researching where their nearest auction house is and then make the trek all the way there? I definitely don't. And that's why I love Pristine Auction, an online sports auction house where you can buy and sell sports memorabilia from the comfort of your home. Pristine Auctions runs tons of different auction formats, including multiple weekly auctions, a premium monthly auction, as well as daily and 10-minute auctions. They guarantee the authenticity of their items, and everything you purchase comes with authentication from the most trusted sources. And the best part is, it's so affordable. I just saw an autographed Magic Johnson photo that sold for only $12. There's plenty more where that came from, too. Check out Pristine Auction now. You'll be hooked. It's free to register, free to bid, and only you pay for the items you win. That's Pristine Auction, spelled P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, auction.com. And when you register, be sure to select the Speak for Yourself podcast from the drop-down menu in the How Did You Hear About Us section. This lets them know I sent you.
All right, let's move to Kansas City, where the Chiefs host the Patriots in the AFC Championship game this Sunday. And Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady will have to contend with more than just opposing defenses. An Arctic blast is expected to hit KC this weekend and cause record lows, possibly even dropping temperatures below zero by game time. And the matchup between the 41-year-old Brady and the 23-year-old Mahomes is the biggest age gap between playoff quarterbacks ever. All right, the question is, who would you rather have this weekend, Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady? You know, I brought my Chiefs hat today.
Oh, now you're back on the wagon.
My nephew sent me for Christmas. Mm. I'm a Chiefs fan, but I'm a realist.
Yes.
There's a guy with too much playoff history, Tom Brady. I got to go with Tom Brady just because of the experience, the history, and then the real deciding factor to me is one quarterback is going to face a Bill Belichick, Brian Flores-led defense, and the other's going to face Bob Sutton and Andy Reid sitting on the bench talking to Patrick Mahomes while the defense is on the field. Hmm. I'd rather be Tom Brady facing Bob Sutton's very predictable defense than Patrick Mahomes facing Bill Belichick.
I will say both of them will ball out, no question. But Mahomes has proved that, especially last week, that the lights aren't too bright in the playoffs. And the elements aren't too adverse. He played well in those snowy conditions last week. So I'm going with Patrick Mahomes. Tom Brady can't bring that history. And if he does bring that experience, how much does that translate to success and to points? Gronkowski, one catch last week. I think there's going to be a different game plan, obviously, than when they face the Chargers. It sounds simple, but get out of zone. Or at least mix it up. Get your second
Bob
level.
Bob Sutton doesn't mix it up.
He needs to. I'm talking to you, Bob Sutton, right now. Please cover James White in the backs out of the backfield. Please. Please double Edelman and then Gronkowski. I know you're great. You're a future Hall of Famer more than likely. However, this year, not history, present, I want to see you go out there and beat us with that. And if they come with a different game plan than the Chargers did with the talent and Patrick Mahomes being at the quarterback position, the way he played last week, I believe in him. I say it's Mahomes.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Tom Brady. There's nothing you can show Tom Brady that he hasn't seen. So it's not like that you're going to confuse Tom Brady. Listen, I keep waiting for Patrick Mahomes to act like he's a second-year quarterback that's his first year of starting, and he never has. And tip my hat to him. He has been absolutely unreal. But I know, having played Bill Belichick defenses over the course of my career, I know how difficult they can be, how much they can change, how many different looks they can give you. And it's not just that they give you different looks. They give you looks where there creates a confusion at the line of scrimmage on how we're going to block things. Hmm. Because they give you shades, they give you personnel groupings, they give you things on the defensive side that make you designate. If you break the huddle, and you've got a bunch of James Harrison linebacker types out there, and James, I know, can play defensive end and nickel, but he can play outside linebacker in base personnel, and you start mixing those things up as an offensive line, it creates confusion. It creates hesitation. If you create hesitation, guess what happens? Your quarterback gets hit, and we create turnovers. And that, to me, is your ability to create that confusion up front, your ability to give Patrick Mahomes some things that he hasn't seen that he's going to have to adjust to over the course of the game. And all it takes is one mistake in a game like this to be the difference. Now, he may go to the sideline and they may figure it out and adjust it, but the mistake has already been made. That's why I'll go Tom Brady.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm going Tom Brady, too. And my biggest thing is the weather. Just as you saw where you were running the reels, you see the Kansas City Chiefs practicing inside, indoors, doing all that. You look at the Patriots, they're outside in the snow, in the weather, you know, getting practice in. He's used to that weather. I think he's, 13-2 in what they call, inclement weather or whatever. Mm. So my reasoning is all because of what they're going to have to deal with, you know, if it drops to sub-zero temperatures.
James, that's interesting because I'm on the other side of the argument as it relates to weather. And I say it just, I've been 41 and I've been 23. And when I step out into the cold at 41, it feels different than when I'm 23. Mm-hmm. And I know
But
Tom
you got
Brady,
a stronger mindset now, too. When I was younger, cold weather bothered me, you know what I'm saying? But as I got older and I got a stronger mindset, I just wash it away, you know what I'm saying? Tom Brady is literally the first one out there. Like, when it was, like, negative 15 and Katz is like, dude, I don't believe he about to have us. He's like, hey, I don't want to hear it. Let's go. He's the first one out there. Let's get it. Let's get going. The weather, he doesn't think about the weather, man. It's built in. You know, he's firing the ball to these guys. They're catching, you know, these hard balls in this cold weather, and they're learning that, you know what, I might have to body something. I may have to hand something depending on, you know, how hard that ball is coming or how hard it feels from it being so cold. So that's something they get used to. They get to get that practice right in. Like I said, you saw right there, the Chiefs were indoors right there. Why are they indoors?
Well, he may not have to worry about the weather because he is Tom Brady, but that Chiefs defense, when they're at home, is a different defense. And they even play well down the stretch. We saw it last week against Indianapolis. But look at the numbers. Points per game, you slash them in half. They only give up 17 points a game at home in Arrowhead. And this still is the best pass rushing defense in the NFL. And they get after you with just four standard rushers. They don't even need to blitz. Now,
they need everybody in coverage to try and do something.
I respect that. And they're going to need that this week, especially against Tom Brady. But that gives you flexibility when you can send four and still get the most sacks in the NFL.
I would say this. The difference, the juxtaposition of the two offenses, and I know there's a lot of side-to-side motion, a lot of kind of, the jet sweep stuff and the ghost motion stuff with the Kansas City Chiefs, and they do a great job of that stuff. But at their core, they want to push the ball down the field more than New England's dumping it off the backs. They're underneath. Those are easier throws, especially in the cold. You don't have to hold on to the ball and drive it down the football field. It's a flick out to the flats. We'll get our 6 yards there. We'll be at second down and four, and our whole playbook is open. And as far as Gronkowski is concerned, I know he only caught one ball, but let me tell you what, on the line of scrimmage as an inline tight end, also what they do with him in the wham game and in the fake wham game, the play action, he was phenomenal. To me, he had a great game and didn't make an impact catching the football.
Yeah.
And as long as he does that, man, he makes a difference on the field on Sundays.
Okay, my other point about, look, Patrick Mahomes, more talented, the future of the NFL, no doubt, coming into his prime. But Andy Reid, again, I'm sorry to be so critical of Andy Reid, but if I have to trust a coach to handle the conditions and anything that goes on in the game with their quarterback, Andy Reid gets too pass happy and will not run the football when it's obvious he should.
Did you see new evidence last week of that?
Something different? No, they got up on him and controlled that game. That was a much easier game, and Andrew Luck played terrible. But Andy Reid is a pass happy coach. I just wonder if the conditions make it that you can't pass as much, and without Kareem Hunt back there, if he will stick with the pass or will he do the right thing? I don't have that worry as it comes to Tom Brady, Josh McDaniels, and Bill Belichick. They're going to do whatever is necessary to win the game. Andy Reid a lot of times does what he likes to do.
Well, everyone knows when you play the Patriots, they won't lose the game. You're going to have to beat them. You're going to have to take it from them. Mm-hmm. They don't make those unforced errors to the level where it's coming back to harm them. So you're going to have to go out there and play an efficient, smart game and play discipline. That's on Andy Reid and the Chiefs, but I think they can. This is a different team.
All right, welcome back with Lock and Wiley. We're joined now by NBA champion Dante Jones.
Yes, sir.
Let's move to the NBA, where the Lakers season has taken a huge turn for the worse since LeBron James went down with a groin injury. LA is just 3-7 without LeBron, including a bad losses to the Cavaliers and the Knicks. And now Luke Walton is considering a lineup change, but speculation is growing that the Lakers brass might be considering a coaching change, especially if they lose to the lowly Bulls tonight. All right, Magic Johnson, when he gave that half-hearted vote of confidence, said, unless something drastic happens, Luke Walton will keep his job. And you know what drastic happened? LeBron James went down and said, you know what? I'm going to come back after Luke is gone.
Wow. You going that far with that wit? You don't believe that in your heart.
Yeah, come on, man.
Really? No, not with a groin injury. As soon as he hurt his groin, I remember they showed and zoomed in on his lips. He said, I felt a pop. Once he said that, I told everybody in the room, I said, that's a month. At his age.
Easy. I think you read his lips wrong.
What is it?
I think he said, I want Popovich.
And I ain't coming back until I get what I want. I think Popovich want him too, the way the Spurs played a little bit. This is weird. This is tough because Luke Walton shouldn't be graded right now without his best player on his roster. Think about it. The entire offseason, training
camp. I mean, it's bigger than that.
The best player in the world. Oh, and you designed a plan with him. Bigger than him. Bigger than Nino. The whole plan is LeBron focused. Yeah. And then LeBron's gone, and you know what it is. Athlete nature. All right, we're going to try and play together, but it's time to get those suppressed numbers back up. And there is like a lot of individual parts, especially offensively. Defensively, it's a better team without LeBron. They went from 10th to 2nd in defensive rating, but that's not helping them win games because they're not putting up the points. I just say, this is mulligan time if you're talking about Luke Walton. You do not grade a guy without his best player on the court. When last seen with this team, they won against Golden State.
What if the best player is doing the grading he doesn't want to pass the coach?
One thing I know about his character is if he can play, he will play. Like, that's not in the discussion with me in my personal opinion about LeBron James, because he's a guy that likes to go out there, perform, play his game. The mind games and control of the organization is not something that he does as a person. It's just that's what the media's perception of him is.
Damn,
and he has an opinion. He has an opinion on different things, but it's not necessarily I'm going to go in and make a commandment to the ownership or the organization. However, is the scrutiny on Luke Walton unfair? Yes, but the scrutiny on all NBA coaches is unfair. And the scrutiny right now is not about the performance without LeBron James. It's about beating teams that you're supposed to be, beating teams that you're better than. Chicago, New York, Minnesota, Cleveland. They're better than them without LeBron James. And the ability, their roster is better than them.
They won 35 games last year without LeBron.
But those teams are not winning basketball teams, and you should be able to put together a team that goes out there and communicates and plays defense. Yeah. And is inspired, and those are the things that coaches are judged upon, whether he's lost the ear of the team. And we don't know that from the outside. The organization knows that if those guys are not prepared and not motivated on a daily basis, if they're not responding to him, that's how he's going to be evaluated. Do I think it's unfair? Yes, but that's what your job is as a coach. Your job is to inspire, lead, communicate, get guys to go through and take care of game plans. And if you can't do it without your best player, then you have to be held responsible in some respect.
Well, I'm not going to dance, and I'm sure you guys aren't either. The elephant in the room is, this is not their hire in Luke Walton. So you know how it is. When we don't feel you to the nth degree, we're always looking for evidence to get you out. And it's just like right now, this is more ammunition towards that evidence that Luke Walton's not our guy. If they would have walked
in Pelinka.
Right. Magic and Pelinka. If they would have walked in with the spirit that he is their guy, glass half full, then this wouldn't be evidence of that. This would be evidence of this is a good team, close, but they need the star power. Now we're using this as evidence, oh, Luke Walton can't command the guys because without LeBron, this team can't win.
Well, his comments after the Minnesota game when he said the guys are not playing hard and they're not communicating, that's your job to get them to communicate and play hard, honestly and truthfully. And he can be judged on those things. Yes, it's very, very, very unfair. And you're absolutely correct. When you come in as a GM and as a president, your job is to be able to put the best product you can out there on the floor. And that's coach and players. And you are held responsible for hires that maybe not are yours at times and their production.
This will sound critical, but it's not. It's just factual. There's a force within the Lakers organization that's stronger than everything else, stronger than Jeannie Buss, stronger than Magic, Pelinka, Walton, and it's LeBron James. LeBron James is a force of nature within basketball that has a solar system and an energy source all its own. And when you take that away, I think it becomes harder to coach Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, everybody else on the team, because LeBron is your source of power. He's Samson's long hair. And so I'm going to reference Dave McMiniman from ESPN's been covering LeBron for a long time. Here's what he said in a story last Friday. While James 34 could be in line to return in time for the Lakers game against the Thunder this Thursday, he will take a cautious approach and is prepared to be out multiple weeks if that's what it takes to return at 100%. A source familiar with James's thinking told ESPN. And this is where my point, Dante, is like, look, man, in the NBA, in the regular season, in January, February, there's a lot of guys that ain't 100%. NFL, mid-season, a lot of guys ain't 100%, but they're out there. And this is a calculated decision. Again, look, if LeBron wants a different coach, they need to give it to him.
You can speak to this and after this. When you have injuries when you're older, it's a total different ball game. Mm. And, you know, they linger. And a problem with Chris Paul right now is that his stuff is lingering into multiple seasons. And if you look at the landscape of injuries, you have to take your time and take care of your body. Going out there playing hurt is not the answer most of the time. Like, guys go out there and guys have injuries that are not 100%, but there's some stuff that can linger and affect what he's really judged upon, and that is the playoffs. You judge LeBron James not on his regular seasons, what seed he gets. You judge him on what his production in the playoffs and if he brings you a championship. And if this is something that could stop that, then I got to look at to it and make sure that I'm 100%, because me being 100% is I have to be 100% in March and April.
I echo that. And LeBron James, if he has the power, he doesn't have to take the extra time to use that same power. He can just say, look, this is what I want. You guys going to give it to me if he has that power. If he doesn't, then this won't work either, because you don't have the power.
Oh, so this is more powerful than him saying anything.
Just sitting out and watch it?
Far more powerful.
For a 35-win team in contrast, I don't think it really lands where he wants it to. It's a 35-win team.
Teams always say that you're healthy when you are the judge of your health. Your doctor's going to say you should be okay, but I know when I feel bad.
You know
I know when my body's not right.
Yeah.
And if I'm not right, I can't go and be me. And if you go out there, LeBron James, he's 75%, and he's not doing what he's supposed to, what we're going to be talking about,
smoking.
LeBron James doesn't have it anymore.
Yeah.
And he can't get it done. And he's not doing what he's supposed to in Los Angeles. So I got to be able to do my full job. And I respect that as a man to be able to say, you know what, I'm not ready. I'll do it when I can, and I'm going to try to do it at the best level rather than just give you a half.
You've made excellent points, but I stand by my opinion.
And you always will.
He heard a pop of it.
I heard it.
All right, welcome back to the show, Whitlock and Wiley. Ooh. Mark Schlereth and TJ Houshmandzadeh. Time for my favorite segment, Antisocial. We moved it up a little bit, earlier. Darnell couldn't wait. I think Darnell's got a doctor's appointment later.
In the weight room.
Sir.
Yeah. Squad goals.
Darnell Smith, our social media manager, here to tell us what's happening in the social media world. Darnell, what's popping?
Yeah, starting off in the NFL, where Bears kicker Cody Parkey went on the Today Show and talked about his double-doink missed field goal against the Eagles during Wild Card Weekend. Bears fans made it known on Twitter that they were pissed and thought he was being selfish. Even Bears head coach Matt Nagy said, in our locker room, we talk about a we thing, and that was more of a me thing.
Ooh.
Do you guys have a problem with Parkey going on the Today Show?
Mm. I really don't. I don't get this controversy at all. I don't think he was making excuses or anything. I don't get the controversy. I don't see why it's a big deal.
I think maybe the city of Chicago Bears fans maybe trying to avoid a Steve Bartman situation, because you know how he got put out there and ostracized. I don't have a problem at all. Anybody who's reminding the world that life is bigger than football, than games, than sports, don't condemn the dude. He went through hell and he's paying for it. I'm glad he's addressed
A wee thing is, are they a wee thing? They're going to fire him, right? I mean,
they ain't firing
they ain't firing the other 53. They're going to fire him. I mean, he doinked, that was the 6-1 he doinked off the upright?
Yeah,
it's not like he's going to be working there, so why do they care if he goes on national television?
I don't have a problem with it either. It's technically, he didn't miss it. That field goal was blocked.
Oh.
So technically, he didn't miss the field goal. It was blocked. Do I have a problem with it? No, he owned up to it after the game. He said it was his fault. We know that. Whew. He will no longer be a Chicago Bear next season. We know that as well. So he's getting his face out there.
All right, Darnell, what's next?
Yeah, moving on to a trending topic on Instagram that y'all know I had to get in on. Everybody, don't judge me.
Look, what year was that?
I'm like 07, 08.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. Oh, Lord.
Everybody been participating in this 10-year challenge, posting pictures of themselves from 09 to now. Even our guy Marcel decided to join in on the challenge, posting this picture of him in his 5XL pink polo in a pair of Whitlock's jeans. Marcellus, are you disappointed that these jeans went out of style?
Man, hell yeah. I'm disappointed we can't see the jeans right now. Yeah. We don't need the damn jeans. Got me all up top. Oh, that was a mess. Everybody's doing the challenge, and everybody's showing their worst picture from then and their best from now to show that they're not aging. I wanted to flip it a little bit, like show something that's
was them jeans Ivizu? You remember those?
Lord, I thought I was winning back then, but boy, I look a mess. Ooh. And I don't know what size that shirt
is. I'm sorry, can we go back to the picture of Darnell?
Yeah, please.
Can we go back to the picture of Darnell? Because I got some questions here about.
Don't pull it up, y'all.
Yeah, pull it up.
I want to make.
Can we pull it up? I want to try. The size of Darnell's head, only Barry Bonds is the only guy I've seen go from a small head to a big head.
Hey, Darnell, in all seriousness, the fad is called CrossFit, not CrossFat.
Oh, man, come on. You were old lineman. You must stick to it.
Woo! He's smoking out there. For real, dog. Hey, Darnell, you owe Whitlock a lot. Cause I'm just, you look broke and hungry.
I'm from the east side.
Darnell,
you look good, bro.
You
look good.
Oh my God. Well, I don't know. Have you started lifting weights?
You look good, man. Not really. I ain't started. Y'all was running around a little bit. But I ain't lifting. You look good, bro. You all right.
A mess.
All right, Darnell, what's next?
Yeah, moving on to college football, the Clemson Tigers, fresh off their victory over Alabama in the national championship game, arrived at the White House yesterday for a visit with President Trump. The team was served a variety of fast food, including Wendy's, McDonald's, and Burger King, which the White House said President Trump paid for out of his own pocket. Now, don't get me wrong, I definitely would have thrown this down, but Twitter was a little skeptical of the spread. Are y'all okay with it, though?
Listen, at the age of 21, 22, if I walked into a room with Wendy's, McDonald's, and Burger King and pizza, I'm happy.
Man, that's collegiate heaven. I mean, and every time you go to a football game in college, you see the kids excited. Chick-fil-A, excited. In-N-Out. Oh, man, fast.
What'd you just say, though?
What? Those are not. You don't like McDonald's?
Chick-fil-A.
You don't like McDonald's?
In-N-Out.
You don't like McDonald's?
I can't remember the last time I had McDonald's.
You missed it out. Man, you're a fish.
Un-American right here.
My kids eat it. I don't.
Dude, you can't get a ribeye or a steak up in that? Like, you got to eat a...
Y'all boost.
Chipotle. Chipotle, Chick-fil-A, In-N-Out, Five Guys at least.
I'm going, like... Oh, wait a minute. I'm going to the White House, and I'm going to get the same thing I get at the Student Union building?
Seriously.
Hey, man, the government shut down. Y'all got to relax.
Y'all don't quit knocking McDonald's and that double filet of fish sandwich.
Let them know.
They had the Big Mac.
Man, that 20-piece nugget with barbecue sauce.
Ain't
nothing wrong with that, man.
All right, what's next, Darnell?
All right, man, sticking with Clemson at the White House, a pitcher making fun of one of their players surfaced on Twitter with the caption, NCAA made billions off me, and all I got was CTE and a Big Mac.
Exactly.
The player from the pitcher, Matt Bockhorst, decided to clap back saying, and a scholarship, a stipend, an education, a head coach that cares, and last but not least, a national championship ring. Y'all like his response to the haters here?
Love it.
Yeah. Somebody got at him, huh?
Yeah.
I love it. Now, look, do I think college players should be paid for the high-profile ones? Yes. But for the majority of the college players like me, it works out just great.
Yeah, I mean, I love his response, but the hit dog hollers, and he did have to respond. He had to clap back because, I mean, for all the other guys, 99% of those guys in that room, well, maybe it's Clemson, so 95% of those guys in that room, that's all they're going to get out of it, man, whatever those relationships are and what they can build off a connection, which is amazing. But, yeah, that's
college is the best time of your life.
No, it ain't.
Yeah, it is.
Boy, you see that picture of me with that Ferrari? That was the best time of my
life. That's before you got all that money. For 95% of them, okay, it's the best time of your life.
Man, okay, I'm telling you what, regardless, football's given me so much more than it has taken from me.
Yes.
And my best friends in the entire world are still the guys I went to the University of Idaho with, bar none.
Clearly, that's the case for me. Mm. I text with my guys from Ball State every day. I wouldn't be here without playing football at Ball State, and I never got a whiff of the NFL. Mm. It's a great exchange.
There it is. Kumbaya.
We in a group text. They talking about doing a 30 for 30 on Oregon State.
Just that got a will text be lowly measure. Rated.
You crazy.
You crazy.
You myself.
You and what? You and Chad?
Oh, my. You going to disrespect
us? Wait a minute.
No, I'm waiting.
Hey, Danny was there?
Erickson, me, Oregon. Chad, Nick Barnett, Dwan Edwards, we all played over 10 years in the league. That's just four guys from one team.
Well, you know, if we had somebody from the U here, they'd run off a list of Hall of Fame.
No.
You better not have a good talent program.
That's different.
I'm on Netflix.
That's different.
Okay. They already made two on that. You're just trying to get a footnote on that.
All right, Darnell, last but not least.
Yesterday on the Herman, I got Kyle on some of the Patriots being vulnerable. Take a listen.
Nobody want to watch that.
If New England goes to Kansas City and wins this weekend, AFC wave the white flag. I mean, this is the most vulnerable they're ever going to be.
Y'all agree with Colin here?
No. Everybody said this last year when the big report came out and all the schism and the issues. That's the most vulnerable they'll be. There's fraction in the New England dynasty. Now, this year, they're most vulnerable. You know what? I don't think they care about vulnerability. They're just going to go out there and continue to roll, man.
Yeah, I don't see the Patriots being vulnerable until Brady retires and Belichick leaves.
Preach, brother.
That's when they'll be most vulnerable. Right now, they still got the GOAT of quarterbacks and coaches. How are they vulnerable?
I'm with you. When 12 is not taking snaps, that's when, as long as 12 is back there, they always got a chance.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going for the Chiefs this week for sure. But
put that down.
With Tom Brady back there, they always got a chance.
I think the thing that sets them apart is every year they lose games early. They lost some late this year. But they do a better job than anybody in my mind in the NFL is developing players over the course of the season, where some of their players at the beginning of the year, they're whatever. At the end of the year, they're actually really good football players. And
coaching.
That's a testament to coaching.
One more question. Seriously, anybody interested in that Oregon State documentary coming out?
This guy here, man. This guy here.
Hey, I've been watching TJ.
Somebody interested in it. I just got a call about it.
Let me say it. If Oregon State gets one, they might as well do one on Ball State.
I mean, let it go.
Now, that's a fact.
Hey, I'll give you that. Hey.
I'm more famous than any of these in Oregon State players.
Take that. Shot fire.
Hey, 27 losing seasons in a row to a BCS game. Come on, man.
All right, thank you, Darnell. Coming
come
up
on, man. Y'all hating.
Whitlock and Wiley, Mark Slareth, and James Harrison are back. Let's move to New Orleans, where the Saints host the Rams in Sunday's NFC Championship game. The matchup is a showdown of two of the league's best offenses and two of its best Sean's, McVay and Peyton. While McVay has all the buzz this year, Peyton is a seasoned hand with a Super Bowl win on his resume. Despite their differences, both guys are among the top offensive minds in the game. Since McVay came into the league in 2017, both have kept their offenses near the top of the league. All right, the question is, which Sean would you want to have this weekend, Peyton or McVay? I'm going to go with the hand of experience. I think what Sean McVay did last week was tremendous. I think it was the most impressive thing that I saw during the playoffs and maybe this season. However, let's don't forget that Sean Payton last week called a fake punt from inside his own 35 that turned that game.
Mm.
And so Sean McVay is still the same super aggressive, innovative, ballsy coach. Yeah. He's still Sean Payton, and he's got a Super Bowl, and Sean McVay doesn't. I'm going to go with Sean Payton.
You're going with the old McVay, and I'm going to take the young Payton. I'm going to take Sean McVay. And I don't have much evidence because there's no wrong choice here, let's be real. I mean, forget last week in the fake punt, which was tremendous, in the Super Bowl. I remember being there because I wasn't playing. And I saw it, like, coming out of halftime, the onside kick, which changed the fortunes, and they won that Super Bowl. So, for me, though, Sean McVay, because this offense was sputtering without Cooper Kupp, last three games they've averaged 36 points per game. The style of play, the creativity, how he changes it up. Now you bring in a C.J. Anderson, and you immediately put him into the fold and immediately get results from him. That creativity, that daringness, and the fact that he's just a younger version. So who knows where his genius will take him. I know what Sean Payton is, and he's amazing, but I think we have something amazing in a younger version. I like the younger version.
Yeah, I think they're both incredible coaches. And I'm going to go like you. I'm going to stay consistent. I picked Tom Brady simply because been there, done that, seen that. I'm going to go with Sean Payton for the exact same reasons, because he's been here. He's seen it. He understands it. And don't forget, you make a great point, 14-0 down in the first quarter to the Eagles. You go for it on that fake punt. It changes the fortunes of your team. You convert with your quarterback a bunch of big-time third downs in that game. They're both based. You know, you look at these two teams, as much as we make for their passing game, and it's legit, they're both based at a wide zone. We want to run the ball. We want to establish that. We want to set up play actions off of that, some deceptive play actions to attack you down the football field. But I'm going to go with a guy that's been there. I'm going to go with a guy that has the experience. I'm going to go with a guy that has a Super Bowl ring in Sean Payton.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I got to go with Payton. I got to go with the experience. Like you said, they're down 14-0. They're at home. Another thing, they're at home. You take that 14-0 and you put them in Philly with that, it's a whole different turnout. So, you know, he's been there. He's done it. It's easy for me. I'm going with the experience.
Well, what about the lightning that comes from Sean McVay and him touching and really just inspiring guys to go from good to great, or even from bad to great? If you talk about Jared Goff before Sean McVay, after Sean McVay, talk about Todd Gurley, who had a tremendous rookie year but then fell off. And then here comes Sean McVay. Cooper Kupp came in with all the question marks and saying, really, is that your phone booth receiver? He's been amazing. Robert Woods, who was a very good receiver in Buffalo, took the next step under Sean McVay. Look, I'm splitting hairs here, but he's done a lot. He's put a lot of juice in some players' careers.
Listen, I believe the Rams are going to win this game, because I think they're going to do the same thing they just did to the Cowboys. They're going to beat them up on both sides of the line of scrimmage. Having said that, imitation is the highest form of flattery. Mm. And Sean McVay is really just the knockoff of Sean Payton.
Yeah.
And we're giving Sean McVay all the credit now for creating this craze of quarterback gurus, offensive gurus. But it probably wouldn't have happened without Sean Payton. He's actually the guy McVay is imitating. And the Rams organization wanted to find their young Sean Payton. Mm-hmm. And so, again, when you start being imitated, it's hard for me to go and say McVay is going to outperform Sean Payton on Sunday. I think Sean Payton's about the only way the Saints can actually win this game. I think the personnel advantage is so far on the Rams side that if the Saints do pull it off, it will be because Sean Payton did something we didn't expect.
They may have a lot in common, but they're not carbon copies. I played with Sean Payton in Dallas, and I will say, witnessing both of them do their thing, if you want to go like the acumen, football acumen, like just out of respect, Sean McVay is higher than probably every other coach walking around. Like his potential. And it's not just his memory and recall. It's about the expansion, how much volume that he's throwing at his players, in part why they're so creative on offense. Sean Payton's amazing at that, but Sean Payton is more relatable from hello, but Sean McVay can relate to all through how he works and how he's invested in everyone. Just kind of different. Like you, day one, you want to go have a beer with Sean Payton before Sean McVay. But at the day 100, you're like, wow, he still cares. He's still there. That intensity kind of wears on.
It's interesting. I was at Saints camp this year, and while they were practicing, Sean Payton took me into the facility and said, hey, listen, this is what I do from every year. This is what we want to do for our players, and showed me whatever it was new. They put together this whole facility with these sleep pods and these, you know, hydro, you know, everything you'd imagine, all the what do they call that? The where you get in the nitrogen or whatever, the cold thing, you know, and all that. I mean, they have a whole facility that they've created. He goes, every year, one of the things I want to do is when my players come back, I want them to have something new, something they can be excited about, right? And then Sean McVay, his players told me he's one of the 53. He's out there practicing with us. He's out there doing that. So they do it a little bit differently, but they have that connectivity and that relationship that they've built with their players, and that's what sets them apart.
Jason Whitlock, Marcellus Wiley, joined by Mark Schlereth and TJ Houshmandzadeh. Let's move to the NFL draft, which just added a very high-profile prospect, Heisman Trophy winner Kyler Murray. The former Oklahoma quarterback made the announcement yesterday. Despite already being drafted in the first round to play baseball by the Oakland A's, Murray can still negotiate with the A's if he wants to pursue a career in baseball, and there are still big questions about the undersized Murray and how he would adjust to the NFL game. I think this is a brilliant negotiating ploy by Scott Boras, his baseball agent.
Okay.
I don't see Kyler Murray as a serious NFL prospect. He's a tremendous college quarterback. 5'8", I'm just 5'9". I just can't pull. If I'm an NFL team, I can't pull the trigger. I think that's a whole 5'9" is a completely different ball game than Russell Wilson or Baker Mayfield. Is this kid better than Doug Flutie? And Doug Flutie had an okay NFL career.
Not his fault.
Solid NFL career.
A little better.
I think he's negotiating with baseball for a better baseball contract, and I think that's his best sport.
I play with Flutie Flakes. It's not a problem in terms of your height. Look, I will say this. There's limitations at times. Drew Brees still has limitations at times. You bring pressure up the middle, Drew Brees, in the passing lanes, not as effective. So we get that. But 5'8 to 5'10, 5'11, obviously you'd rather be taller, but you can still play the game of football. I played with Doug Flutie when he won 10 games, Pro Bowl, and the playoffs, and he performed well. Now, that said, boy, I would love for that to be my son in that position, to have these two options, these two opportunities. I would tell him, look, here's the pros and cons in both situations. However, I would root for him to go to football. Because you can always fall down to baseball. Tim Tebow, who didn't play baseball since high school, is damn near a pro. If he wasn't injured last year, probably would be a pro right now, be a Met. So the athleticism in baseball, we all know, is a little less than it takes to play the game of football. In your prime years, in the years where they're still trying to get you and put their claws on you in the football world, take that opportunity. If that doesn't work, fall down to baseball.
Well, I think that playing Major League Baseball is a lot harder than playing professional football. It's a lot harder to get in. And the statistic would bear that out. I mean, one, you're playing against the world. You're not doing that here in America playing football. There's 53 guys on a roster. There's 25 active guys on a Major League Baseball roster. You sign this deal in baseball, you're going to spend the next 3-4 years riding around a bus in the minor leagues. Then when you get in to professional baseball, after you get to the majors, you've got 3 years of major league service without going down. You can't be sent down to the minors. That the clock starts ticking. If you get sent down, it's no longer ticking.
It goes back.
So you've got 3 years to be able to get to your arbitration year. And then if you're not a superstar in your arbitration year, you've got 1 year of money that you're going to make, and then you hit free agency. So you're going to be 7 years essentially out before you have a chance to sign a contract. After this signing bonus, you have two contracts in the NFL. Maybe you're working on your third contract in the NFL. He's going to be a first-round draft choice, and he's rated in the bottom in the 20s. But that means you're going to get elevated up into the teens at the very least in the National Football League. You're going to make not 15. You're probably going to make 20-some million dollars just to sign your name on a contract, and you're going to get another opportunity 4 years from now to re-sign a deal. I mean, it's a four-year deal with the option of the team. If you play well, you're going to get an option. You're going to get that option contract in 4 years.
Well, if he's a first rounder,
I'm playing football, and I've thought about this. I've kind of looked into it. It's what you said. He could possibly be 29, 30 years old before he's a free agent in baseball. If he's in the minors for 2 or 3 years, and they have the arbitration system in baseball. Look at Bryce Harper and Manny Machado. They can't even get a 10-year deal, and they're the best players in baseball. Before he's up for his second contract in baseball, he could possibly make what you said, at least
$30 million playing football, if he's a good player, he doesn't have to be great, he'll sign at that time for $21, $22, maybe $23 million a year as a quarterback.
Yeah.
It's a no, and he's a star. He won the Heisman Trophy. He's a star in football. He goes and plays baseball, bus trip in the minors. He's not a star anymore. You're no just one of the guys.
There.
No
yep.
mark. So for me, go play football. If it doesn't pan out, all right, I'll go try baseball again. That's what I would do.
Uncle Jimmy's here to help us talk about our approval ratings for New York Jets coach Adam Gase. Uncle Jimmy, you look very serious in your, what is, you a Navy SEAL?
Rambro. What are you?
What?
Let's get to it, man.
Oh, he's out that light. He ain't ready.
All right, here's a highlight from our discussion earlier about Adam Gase. Adam Gase is not an NFL head coach. He's a quarterback guru. The Jets are about to experience the Putin principle, a Russian scheme to influence the entire NFL and undermine the values that made the league and America great.
This dude ain't gonna make me run through a wall looking that way, but be careful, Whitlock. He has more wins in his first 3 years than the greatest coach of all time, Bill Belichick, and finished second in the division twice.
He got fired, Marcel.
Okay, he got fired, but hey, Belichick also, at the same time, should have got fired by the numbers.
You, you comparing him Belichick.
I'm saying right now he on pace to be Belichick, damn it. That's what I'm saying right now. Why you make me say that?
I want that moment back. You need it back.
I need it back.
Dude look like Vladimir Putin, and you comparing him to Bill Belichick. All right, Uncle Jimmy.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
What's your take on our discussion about Adam Gase?
Well, first of all, you know that I served with great distinction in the special unit of the Marines for 20 years. I'm one of the few surviving members of the Black Berets, SEAL Team 32. You know, Jim Brown's character in the Dirty Dozen was primarily based off of my role in the Bay of Pigs invasion.
What?
No, hold on, man.
That's wrong.
The Dirty Dozen was about World War II.
Yeah, what you talking about?
Jason, you know as well as I do how Hollywood plays with the facts.
Okay? That's where we going?
My point I'm just simply making is I'm well-versed, I'm well-trained in Russian acts of espionage and ploys of that nature.
Oh, is that what's going on here?
During the Kennedy administration, I had the highest security clearance of anyone allowed. I'm actually the one that actually introduced President Kennedy to Marilyn Monroe.
You knew Marilyn Monroe?
Yeah.
Yes, I knew the young lady, not intimately, but yes, I knew her. She wasn't really my type. No meat on the bone to speak of. But the president found her quite ravishing, if I may say.
Ravishing? Old ass English.
Look, man.
Ravishing.
What's your take on Adam Gase?
First of all, I'm going to commend you on your great take. You can never trust the Russians. Never. They're always up to dirty tricks. I, too, believe Adam Gase is a Russian operative. And I'm quite proud that this show was the first one to point that out and alert the public to it. President Kennedy, had he listened to me he would have sent the proper air support in during the Bay of Pigs, and the Cuban Missile Crisis could have been averted.
Wait. Flip that, you know.
You have to be very firm with the Russians, is what I'm trying to tell you, very firm.
You be firm with your history. Flip that. Back to school.
Yeah, I think the Bay of Pigs actually sparked the Cuban Missile Crisis, but...
Yeah, that part. Sir.
We're gonna ignore all that. Man. So you think Adam Gase is gonna be a failure?
I'm not actually at liberty to say. I mean, if I was off the record, I would probably say this whole thing reminds me a whole lot of when Mikhail Gorbachev put on a wig and glasses, and they paraded him around as the commissioner of the NBA for like 4 decades. And I think they called him David Stern. Man, the Russians, they a lot slicker than we are, Jason. This is why the lights just went out.
They did.
You think it's a game?
Oh, man.
What is going on?
David Stern is Mikhail Gorbachev. That's Mikhail
Gorbachev, Jason. Yeah. Know your history. Gorbachev.
He went to Columbia. He wasn't no Russian. He went to Columbia.
All right, look, man. We appreciate the history, man.
Yes, yes.
Bay of Pigs and all the Cuban Missile Crisis and all that.
Yeah, we'll put it together.
Yeah, we'll put it together for you. But let's get to our approval ratings for Adam Gase.
Mm. You could have fought in that war.
I don't know. Look, I don't have Adam Gase as a dumpster fire.
Good.
He's a 42. Job performance, I gave him a 4. All-time greatness, I gave him a 4.
Yeah.
Character, I'm going to give him a 20. Look, the guy didn't even play college football and has made it all the way to NFL head coach. Got to show great character. Authenticity, though, I think he's faking the funk a lot.
No!
So I'm a little down on him authenticity-wise, but...
That is not faking the funk. That's when keeping it real goes wrong. Look, he is being who he is, so I give him a high authenticity. It was tough for all-time greatness. What the hell I do with Adam Gase? Like, who gets a 0?
I'm glad you found out
what
his coaching
jobs.
True, yeah. And I like Adam Gase trying to fix a broke-down receiver and make him a quarterback. All that stuff.
How you going to give him a 12 a job performance? He got fired.
Yeah, but the winning record, better than Belichick in his first 3 years. I got to use that for something. It sounds
Russians
good.
Russians is coming, guys. Russians is coming. Keep it up.
Check the emails. We're going.
Everything's Porky Pig to y'all, but the Russians is coming.
Bay of Pigs.
Bay of Pigs.
Bay of Pigs, not Porky Pig. Hey, we got to go.